Blog Talk Radio.
Listening today to the Philosophy Show. It's episode number 139, and today's episode is titled What They Aren't Telling You About the Truth and Bernie Sanders. My name is Thomas, your host of the Philosophy Show, and this is a once a week show, every Wednesday night, Thursday morning, 12:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you want to call in today, it's a half an hour show. It's also a guest call-in show, and the guest call-in number is area code 646-929-1344. Again, that's area code 646-929-1344. And you can also visit at blogtalkradio.com/philosophy. And also visit my YouTube site at youtube.com/blastoffreshair. And I'm going to try something a little bit new here today. And what that is going to be is a rebuttal to articles I saw. One is from CBS News, and the other one's from MarketWatch.com. The one from CBS News is titled, and it's dated May 13th, 2016, and it's titled, Some Democrats Press Bernie Sanders to Leave Race. And the other one is an opinion piece from MarketWatch called Bernie Sanders is Making Democrats Look Stupid, published May 13th, 2016 as well. That one is by Tim Mullaney, and the one I mentioned earlier on CBS says it's from let's see if it even says who it's from. Well, I guess they didn't want to sign it, so it's just from CBS itself. Not any particular pundits. Well, I guess it says it's maybe from the Associated Press, but anyways, I haven't really done any rebuttal. I've rebutted ideas. Not specific articles, but even in the articles itself, I guess it is the ideas, but, you know, I just want to give credit to where credit is due. All right, so if you want to call in after I rebut these, feel free to, and we can have a discussion about ideas and not personalities, right? And we can talk about anything from advice to politics, life, liberty, the nether, the ether, and beyond. So let's go to this one first from MarketWatch. So the article, and I'm just going to pull some quotes from this article. I'm going to go from top to bottom and just rebut it. It's not a hugely long article at all. And it says here, it starts out with Bernie Sanders is stalking the presidential nomination of a party he doesn't belong to. Actually, he does belong to the Democrat Party. He has been the longest running independent ever in U.S. Congress history, which is something to be proud of, since independents are actually the biggest voting bloc, bigger than Republicans, bigger than Democrats. But anyways, he did register to be a Democrat, to vote in the Democrat process, because the rules are bent against independents or third-party candidates. It's a duopolistic cartel. But anyways, they claim that he's seeking the presidential nomination of a party he doesn't belong to. That's not even true. And even as Hillary Clinton grinds out the Democratic bid, it's now fashionable to congratulate the socialist for the issues he raises and the salutary ways he pulls Clinton towards left-leaning millennials, saving the earth and economic justice. Number one, another point here is if you compare what the Democratic actual platform is, Bernie Sanders is closer to a Democrat than what Hillary Clinton is. If you look at the actual ideas, the Democratic platform, and pulling Clinton towards the left, sometimes she gives lip service to that. And then it says, well, Bull, Sanders' campaign has been a disaster for Democrats, mitigated by the fact that Clinton is winning almost 3 million more votes than Sanders. Sanders promotes a vision of America that disdains capitalism, ties itself to Looney Tunes supporters who praise Castro's Cuba for a revolution in values, tweet that a single warm Christmas day proves global warming, and believes that tasks recovering conservatively 30 million U.S. jobs should be led, paid for, and repriced by restructured by the federal government. And actually, Bernie Sanders, let me rebut that as well. He's the most capitalist. He voted against the bank bailouts, which was the most uncapitalist act ever. We bailed out banks for trillions of dollars. We refused to let them fail. They're too big to fail. You know, in the big crash of 2008, which was the biggest crash since the Great Depression, it's the conservatives and the Democrats, all of them, only a handful of people. And whenever you see these votes of just a handful of people that voted against it, but it still passed, where the majority of Republicans, the majority of Democrats, I mean, it's usually bad news. I mean, that's why Congress has a 4% approval rating. There's probably like 4% of Congress that deserve a good approval rating. And the bank bailouts in trillions of dollars, I mean, the whole thing about capitalism is having, one of the things is having the right to fail and letting the failures fail and to expel them from the system, expunge them from the system, let the market work, let the market refuse certain things that fail. Let the market refuse those things to clean out the blood system, per se. I mean, to detoxify itself of those malinvestments. And Bernie principled, I mean, it wasn't fair. You know, if someone else fails, should you have to cover their costs? He voted against the bank bailouts, which is on the capitalist side, while the Republicans voted for the bank bailouts, which is socialism. And, you know, about the single warm Christmas day proves global warming. I mean, that's an exaggeration. He also, it's not because of the warm Christmas. It's because of lots of scientists. And so whether you agree with global warming or not, that's not what he was saying. And it says, so it's the Republicans that disdain capitalism. It's Republicans that are socialist and the mainstream Democrats who voted for those bank bailouts, which is most of Congress, and that's part of why they have a 4% approval rating, because they never do what the people want. And then he says that, yeah, Bernie Sanders wants to create 30 million new jobs for construction in the United States. hypocrites. I mean, half the jobs created now are from the government, either by direct government employees at the local, state, and federal level, or by the contracts that they create. There's more contracts from the military than anyone else. So the socialism is of the rich. I mean, that's really affecting the budget. If you look at Boeing, if you look at Blackwater, if you look at the private prisons, if you look at all the military contracts that create missiles, bombs, where we, you know, that's half of our budget is the military. When they say we don't spend hardly anything on foreign aid, well, they don't include the military budget. If you included the military budget, yeah, I mean, our huge portion of our income goes to foreign affairs. You know, while we're destroying bridges overseas, we're letting the ones here at home crumble. Now, you could argue whether we should spend that kind of capital in that way, but, you know, I'd rather have it spent for construction here at home rather than destruction abroad. And I do think look at Flint, Michigan, bridges crumbling everywhere and the water systems being hijacked and, you know, at the expense of the real crony socialist capitalists. And they're just letting the water systems go and letting people drink lead. I mean, they let a little welfare that is a small, you know, the part that's a small percentage is a welfare for the poor. And so, unless you're a complete anarchist, I mean, wouldn't it be a good idea to employ people at home constructing and rebuilding our infrastructure? I think that's something we could probably agree on. So keep going on here. It says Democrats have spent 40 years recovering from their 1972 presidential landslide loss and the last 15 years branding themselves as the reality-based community, while labeling Republicans a stupid party. Yet Democrats just can't quit a candidate whose immunity to evidence, history, fact, and science rivals former President George W. Bush at its worst. Yeah, and the W for George W. Bush stood for the worst. For Sanders, the occasional invocation of myth isn't a diversion from larger truths. His myths are his argument. Here's what Sanders says about the minimum wage. The current federal minimum wage is a starvation wage. It's got to be raised to a living wage. In truth, the minimum wage, inflation adjusted, has never been anywhere near $15 the hour that Sanders says is the minimum living wage. Its all-time high, according to the Labor Department, was $10.95 an hour in 2012 numbers in 1968. There's a reason why proposals to raise it began with Barack Obama's $9 an hour proposal in 2012, and then Tom Harkin tried to raise it to $10.10 an hour and went from there. So whenever you negotiate something, you start at the high end. I mean, if you start at $10 and it's currently $7, you know, you might end up in a compromise of $8. If you start at 15, at least maybe you might get to 10 or 11 or 12, and that doesn't mean you can't raise the standards. I mean, personally, I think if you had a guaranteed annual income, you wouldn't even need the whole minimum wage anyways and half these government programs. But that aside, that's my personal opinion. And there's going to be automation and stuff where it's the minimum wage is probably going to lose some jobs. But with the economy that we have now, I mean, you know, there are arguments to be made. I mean, if you pay someone minimum wage, that's an adult's the rate it is now. Most people cannot live off that. It hasn't stayed up for inflation. Let's at least raise it to that 1968 number. Anyways, that's not the biggest thing. You can only pass it if it approves Congress anyways. He's trying to work for the poor. While a lot of Republicans say in this economy we should just remove the minimum wage. And, I mean, this is not a huge deal. Hillary wants to raise it to 12. Bernie wants to raise it to 15. You know, Donald Trump says there shouldn't even be a minimum wage. Now he has backpedaled and says it's too low, but can leave it up to each individual state. And some states have raised it to $15 an hour, like California, New York, and I think Washington and some other cities. my personal opinion is, you know, there's going to be automation in the future, and the minimum wage is not the cure to this whole thing. A guaranteed annual income is. That's something you're also not going to be told and never will hear in the media. And in order to do that, you're going to have to have a public banking system that's voluntary. And that'll be the strongest dollar you've ever seen. And I've described that in my previous issue, so I could spend a whole show on that, actually. But I'm not going to go there right now. And the best way is also to reduce people's, you know, you can either increase income or reduce expenses for people to give them a higher standard of living. And I think we should also help reduce expenses by investing in solar and energy. I mean, people's main expenses are housing, which I think we should open up a lot more land. If people are going to be sustainable and healthy with it, give them the land and let them homestead. And then the second expense is groceries and food. You know, teach people to grow their own food for a lot of their food. I mean, if they had a whole orchard out there and they had their own lands, you know, you could reduce a lot of expenses for people. And education is another expense sometimes for some families. But that would reduce a lot of expenses. Energy we can invest in, water systems. And then you're pretty much set there. I mean, any other expenses, it's, you know, up to you to maintain. And they're trying to attack him on the minimum wage, which also would give people who spend the money the most more to purchase stuff. I mean, right now we've seen since the 1980s, since we've passed trade deals and have more corrupt crony capitalism. I mean, the wages for the American people have been on a trajectory of straight down. And especially since the year 2000, it's just been even more straight down. And the people that earn 0.1%, you know, have been making like 98% or 95% of all the income. These are huge, crazy numbers that you wouldn't believe. You know, but it says, forget what Sanders says, a two income. Anyways, let's go to the next point they make. If you take Sanders seriously, that the point of his minimum wage plan is simply to recover ground, blah, blah, blah. They keep going on that. On energy, Sanders is against new oil and gas drilling technology. Even after fracking caused a price collapse, saving households $1,000 a year while reducing carbon emissions. And then they say in quotes here, criticizing fracking pollutes water, degrades air quality, and worsens climate change. No amount of regulation can make it safe. Gary, Kimmy, you're going to defend fracking? Fracking should be made illegal. I mean, if you look it up, that totally pollutes the groundwater, which we're running out of as a resource. And if you want, like, flammable water coming out of your sinks, that's fracking. It can destroy water systems that are hundreds of miles away from where they're actually doing the fracking. It's an unsafe thing. Yeah, we should be going towards solar, maybe some more nuclear and other technologies. We should change our patents and trademark laws so we can look at all these technologies that are out there for energy and stuff. And no reason to be destroying the earth for generations to come. It's not just your property you're destroying. Petroleum and etc. And then they go on, as for the banks, Sanders won't let go of the hobby horse at the size of U.S. banks and letting banks own investment banks. Getting rid of Glass-Steagall caused the 2008 financial crisis. That was debunked years ago. No, that's why Glass-Steagall was put in. That was one of the results after the Great Depression, was put in Glass-Steagall. And I'm sure you've heard that term. If you don't know what it means, you can look up Glass-Steagall, but that's one of those laws that was passed after the Great Depression, so it wouldn't happen again. And then so what we have is these too big to fail banks that were bailed out by the FDIC at our expense, and, you know, they have more that the FDIC can even cover if they were to fail again. And so, okay, so that's that one article, debunked, rebutted, whatever. Here's the second article. Some Democrats press Bernie Sanders to leave the race. Pressure is mounting on Bernie Sanders, and this is from CBS News, to end his campaign for president. The Democratic Party leaders raising alarms that his continued presence in the race is undermining efforts to beat Trump this fall. The new concerns come after Sanders' recent wins over front runner Hillary Clinton, who, by the way, is only winning because she's had everything set up in her favor. I mean, you know, they've at the last minute in certain locations removed polling locations. They've changed the voting times to open at noon instead of when they were originally advertised as 9 a.m. At the last minute. I mean, just tricky stuff like that. She's gotten money from the Democratic Party where Bernie Sanders hasn't, and the whole establishment has been behind her. And so they have removed people from voter rolls. Some places don't allow independents to run. I mean, right now in the national polls, the most popular person, if you care about democracy, that has a chance to win between Trump, Hillary, and Bernie Sanders is Bernie Sanders. So why would we want a system where the most popular person can't even make it past a darn primary? I mean, we have establishment Hillary Clinton against potential, you know, whatever, Tasmanian devil, wild card, fascist Donald Trump, who's connected with the mob and the only reason he's successful is because his dad gave him tens of millions of dollars and hundreds of millions. He had that super head start. He had like a platinum spoon in his mouth when he was born. He built himself from the bottom up. Yeah, just the same way a king built themselves up from the bottom up through inheritance and some entitlements. And him and Hillary are entitled. Now, maybe Donald Trump has a streak of wanting to do the right thing. You know, I don't know, but it's certainly a guess. It's not something that's proven. And Hillary has plenty of things. You know, she should be able to stand up to the truth. What about competition? You know, getting the truth out. And Bernie still has a chance to win. And Hillary could still get indicted because she's under an FBI investigation. And if it was someone else that was, like Bernie Sanders, they would be telling him to quit. But they're not telling Hillary to quit, even though she has an FBI investigation going on right now and could be indicted at any time. So someone wrote, continuing with this article, it says, I would just hope that he would understand that we need to begin consolidating our vote sooner rather than later, said New York Rep. Steve Israel, a Clinton backer. You know, this is just bullying talk, hogging the bed. You know, though Clinton has for the past few weeks largely focused her rhetoric on Trump, campaign aides say the two-front effort hampers their ability. So it's okay, or Bernie doesn't have two fronts, it's just Hillary that does. She's the one who voted for the Iraq war. She's the one that voted for all these trade deals. She's the one that voted for the Patriot Act. She's the one that has a Clinton Foundation and has like legal bribery and hundreds of millions of dollars. Her and Bill Clinton has raised in the last couple of years hundreds of million dollars to their own personal coffers for speaking fees and things like that that they get from Wall Street, energy companies, healthcare companies, pharmaceuticals, all the usual big multinational suspects. And so she has to stand on her own record here. And they're saying it slows her takeoff in the general election if Bernie stays in the campaign so she can focus more on Trump. Her popularity has been going down. She has one of the highest unfavorability ratings, and Trump is right there with her. I mean, we're going to have, if it's Hillary versus Trump, two of the most unfavorable people in America, Republican politics here when you actually have someone who is favorable, Bernie Sanders, and he can't even make it past the primaries. You know, that's when the elections are rigged. He should be in the general election, and if he was, he would win by an overwhelming majority, and he still has a chance. So if you're in California, New Jersey, some of these states coming up, actually on June 7th, and you have to register right now, because some of them, the deadline's coming up, but yeah, in June, there is California, North Dakota, Montana, New Jersey, New Mexico, and South Dakota on June 7th. And some of them are open primaries. So they're just talking about, and that's not how you really court Bernie Sanders supporters, too. I mean, there's no way, I don't know who I'd vote for. I'm probably going to vote third party if it's Hillary versus Trump. And I hope this could be a year a third party might actually win, because you have two very unpopular candidates in the two big parties. So that could be a first time, at least since the Republican Party itself was a third party with Abraham Lincoln. You know, and then they say there's plenty of Sanders to do in his old job as a senator. They say, we look forward to welcoming him back to the Senate. So it's just pretty pitiful. I mean, actually, I think Bernie should give the campaign of his life coming up. You know, I mean, this is for America, and this is a political revolution. And so we have about a minute left. You can share your thoughts. That's idea for today. The Philosophy Show, and so we have less than a minute. We're giving the countdown here. We'll see you next week. Never know what the topic's going to be about, but I have some interesting ideas churning here, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. And if you have a show idea and would like it critically reasoned out with the philosophical principles, then give us a call and comments, etc. So we'll take care. And this has been another episode of The Philosophy Show. All right. Until next time, have a great day and beyond. And keep thinking critically.